Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. Sunday afternoon, D-Line, I'm with you until 4 o'clock. Tyler Zuli behind the glass. And all of you out there listening, some of you calling in to join the conversation. And right now, joining our conversation on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, is an old friend, Adam Taliaferro. Adam, how are you? So nice to have you join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. I'm doing well. I appreciate you having me. How you been doing?
I'm doing all right. I said that a while back, what was it, a couple weeks ago, maybe three, that there was a great article in the Philadelphia Inquirer. That was kind of, God, I couldn't believe how much time has passed since you were at Penn State.
Yeah, you know, myself living through it, it's hard to believe this September it'll be 20 years since my injury.
And, That's what I thought.
Yeah, so we, our foundation, we were planning to have a 20-year gala, which of course, you know, got canceled due to the pandemic, but we're hoping to reschedule it. But, you know, life has been a blessing ever since.
You've done a lot of great work, and I really do have to start first with our current state of the world, our city, Philadelphia. I know you're in New Jersey the last 24 hours right in this area, but this whole last week, beginning with what happened with George Floyd in Minneapolis. Just, I guess, two things, Adam. One, as you're watching this, did you see that we were getting as a society to a boiling point?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to put into words, you know, and you watch the images on TV and then, you know, you see what's going on in Philadelphia. And I think you get to a point where people feel like they're not being seen, like they're not being heard or understood or recognized. And I whenever I see these things going on, I look inward, look at myself. And, you know, I feel blessed because, you know, when my injury changed my outlook on life, you know, when I got hurt, I saw the good in a lot of people. People I never met in my life, black, white, Asian, whatever they were, often would just say, "Hey, Adam, we're thinking about you. We're praying for you." And that really makes you see that there's just so many good people. And I think, you know, we're looking at the situation that we're dealing with today. I think that's what people want. They want someone to say, "Hey, you know, we hear your concerns. We understand. We care." And, you know, we're still trying to get to that point as a society. But I'm hoping, you know, everyone, you know, could take a step back and try to look at this thing and work together, because it's not going to just be one race or that's going to get through this. I think it's going to be a collective effort, and I'm hoping we get there at some point. And as we all know, we're not there right now.
Adam, and help me if I don't say this properly, but you're part of the New Jersey General Assembly, correct?
Correct. Yep. I've been in the assembly for about 5 years now.
Right. So I guess you could help some of us, because we say, how can we help? And if you can start in your own community, then little by little, it grows to be something that then helps your state, that then helps your country. How mm-hmm. do you invite people who maybe haven't been involved? Like, where do they begin if they want to get involved in government or nonprofits? I don't know where to direct.
Yeah, you know, I'm in a really interesting position because I chair our Law and Public Safety Committee in the General Assembly. So I have, you know, great opportunities to connect with our law enforcement community. And I think, you know, when people ask, you know, where does this start? I think the one thing is just going to your, you know, your local town hall meetings, you know, going, getting to know your locally elected officials. You know, in New Jersey, we have at the county level, we have freeholders, and then even at the, you know, up to the state level where I'm at, we all have local district offices. So just getting, you know, going, getting to know your elected officials, knowing what they're about, knowing what the priorities are, sharing what your priorities are as a constituent of many of these elected officials, I think is the best way to start. Because a lot, when I, you know, I come across a lot of different people and they say, you know what, I feel like our elected officials just aren't listening to us. And I often say, have you had a conversation? Have you had the opportunity to sit down or talk to one of your elected officials over the phone? They often say no. And that's where I say, that's where it starts. It's just that outreach to your elected officials and your policymakers to help them hear from you, because we're all, you know, certainly here in Jersey, we're all what we call citizen legislators. So we all have full-time jobs outside of our work in the legislature. And our biggest thing is hearing from the public, and that helps us craft our policy. So I'm often a proponent of, you know, reaching out, going to local district offices, or even reaching out via social media. We all have social media pages that we check or our staff check, and that's a great way to get connected with your folks that are really making decisions that affect your everyday life.
All right, that's important. Thank you for that part. The other thing I noticed in Camden yesterday, they had police officers that marched in what turned out, at least to the point that I had seen, a peaceful protest. Mm-hmm. Are there things, and I believe I read, and it could have been a couple of years ago, but just the effort in Camden in particular, I know that's not where you live, but I'm sure you pay attention to it, but it does seem like they've made some really good strides with their police officers and their community.
Yeah, if you look at the, just from a statistical perspective, you look, you know, how crime has dropped there and the countywide police force there, then really something to be an example that we can all learn from throughout the state. And I think what I've seen there is that their law enforcement community has really done a great job with connecting with the community as a whole. And I tell people all the time, you know, in my role in the legislature, I've had the great opportunity to, you know, really get a better understanding of the law enforcement community. And, they work hard to protect us. And there's some really great men and women that wear that uniform and do things that none of us, I know me certainly, would not be willing to do on a day-to-day basis, you know, putting your life on the line to help each and every one of us. And I think from our perspective, it's just really connecting with the law enforcement community and letting them hear from us and vice versa. And again, I said it, you know, a little bit earlier, but I think it just starts with that conversation, whether it's sitting around a table. You know, I think about people like Malcolm Jenkins and some of the professional athletes who have started those dialogues with the law enforcement community to create that connectivity. Because I think, you know, when I'm thinking about the African-American community, you think of your interaction with law enforcement community, the law enforcement community, is only when something's going wrong. You know, when can we start those interactions on, or, you know, whether it's at basketball games, different things like that. And like I said, I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I think there's a lot of smart people out there that are already having those conversations.
I'm glad you brought up Malcolm Jenkins, and just thinking about over the last week for sure, the number of athletes that have gone to social media to really speak, and that has not always been the case. It's I think people have wanted more, and I don't know that it's right to demand more, but I do understand that they see professional athletes as people who have a following. Obviously, mm-hmm. They have people who listen to them, so they have a platform. Have you noticed, and I pointed out just one that was in particular to me because she plays in the WNBA and was from this area. Natasha Cloud wrote an excellent article on the Players Tribune 2 days ago. Watching Steven Jackson, I thought his speaking the other day in Minneapolis was amazing. Have you seen some of these athletes? And do you think because one has done it, you know, not anyone in particular, but that they are following the lead because more are willing now, it seems, to take a stand?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, dude. I think that's helpful. You know, you think, you know, about all the young people that look up to these athletes, and they look to athletes during difficult times to see how they're reacting and what they have to say about these different things. And their voices could be a beacon of hope and inspiration for I think a lot of people who may be feeling lost right now. So I really applaud those that have come out and said their piece. And I was even looking at something earlier. There's a wide receiver from the Oakland Raiders. I forget his name is escaping me, but
Zay Jones.
He talked about the story where he interacted with a woman in a retail store, and she said, you know, I care about you, and he shared that story, and it was just so touching to hear just you know, his perspective and how that really just impacted him just from a conversation of a black guy with an older white woman talking about how they connected over just saying how they care about each other. So I think those things really can go a long, long way during these difficult times.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to some, because before this week, the biggest thing on most of our minds was coronavirus. And we have been shut in since mid-March. And little by little, people are trying to reopen their states. And it's totally taken out the sports world. We'll see what happens when we get team sports back. I know golf is coming back shortly. Mm-hmm. But college football in particular, this is going to be a big. Does your gut tell you one way or the other if we'll see college football in the fall? Or maybe it has to get moved, but do you think we'll see college football this year?
Well, Dia, I think maybe it's just because of my love for college football, my unwavering optimism, but I do believe we're going to see it. You know, I'm a little bit worried, I think at some point, I don't know if it's going to be in September or the season's going to start a little bit later. I have faith that there is going to be a football season. I think it's going to be a little bit different, you know, as it pertains to the fans in the stands. I think, you know, I went to Penn State. I think, you know, we've got 107,000 people that can fit into a stadium. I don't think we'd be quite there to have a full capacity stadium early in the fall, but I am hopeful that we'll have the season. But there are some issues. I know Penn State's first game is against, I believe, San Jose State, and they had already announced that they're not, you know, having any school in the fall semester. So it's just a lot of tricky circumstances we're going to have to work around. But I remain hopeful that our, you know, for me personally, that my Nittany Lions will be playing on the gridiron this fall.
Can I ask you how often you get to go back to a game? Does your schedule permit?
Yeah, and you can probably see this one, but prior to having kids, my son is five. I would go. I literally would probably be at every. I was at every home game.
Wow!
And then my 5-year old came, and I have a 2-year old daughter now. Since they came, I haven't been to a game in 5 years.
Oh, my goodness.
It is embarrassing to say, but, you know, Coach Franklin has been fantastic. He has me. I've been up there to, you know, speak to the team over the summer a couple of times. And I've come when Penn State plays down here in Jersey, when they play Rutgers or, you know, Maryland, I'm able to get to some of the more local games. But ironically, I was supposed to, because it's the 20-year anniversary of my injury, we were supposed to be doing a, you know, 20-year anniversary type thing at the Ohio State game this year. So I'm not sure if that's still going to happen or not, but I was planning on going back for the first time and bringing my kids up there for the first time this year. So we were looking forward to that.
Since you brought up Coach Franklin, there was a really good article in the Philadelphia Inquirer today where he had he's really concerned for not just society, but like the guys that he coaches and their opportunity. He's like, these are our doctors, our teachers, our, you know, people of our future. I thought he was excellent in today's paper as well. I don't know if you got a chance to see that, but
I did. I had an opportunity to read the piece that he put together. And I think that just speaks volumes about, you know, the person Coach Franklin is and his true compassion about this issue. And, you know, that's the thing that I think really draws a lot of players to play for Coach Franklin, because he's a guy that, you know, a lot of players can relate to. You know, he was a former player himself. And it's just really, you know, as we had talked about earlier, it's just really cool to see how everyone's really putting themselves out there during this difficult time. I know even the Penn State baseball coach, I know Coach Chambers has spoken up for the basketball side, and even the baseball coach had decided, I forget the Greg, Mr. Floyd, who, you know, unfortunately passed away. I forget what number he wore in either high school or college, but they have retired that number.
Number five. Yep.
And then, you know, no one on the baseball team is going to wear number 5 this year. So it's just, like I said,
that's a good community.
It's a really neat thing to see that people are really coming together during these difficult times.
Which, Adam, really, to the university, I mean, they went through some tough times, you know, not that far back. For them to now have people that are coming together as a community in, again, another tough time, that's refreshing in a little bit of its own way.
Yeah, that's, you know, Penn State is a very close-knit, tight-knit community up there, and, you know, people really stick together. And as you said, we went through some really difficult times a few years ago, and I think a lot of people looked inward and realized, you know, there's some things that are, you know, bigger than sports, and, you know, if we can all come together, we can get through a lot of different things. And you know, the Penn State community continues to do that. And I always tell people, as I mentioned, when I think about myself and my injury and the way that people came together to help me get through some of the most difficult of times, I often say we can get through things that our minds really don't think we can get through if we have the collective unit of people pushing us through these hard times. And that really it renews my faith every time I see it happen. And, you know, for me, it's been 20 years, and I say it's been an example in my own life that there's people that can help you, you know, get through some really, really tough, bad things when, you know, throughout life.
Adam, I'm just curious. I've never asked you this because I know you so loved your football and you were so great. But from a athletic standpoint, is there anything that you have been able to fill that kind of competitive or from a hobby standpoint in post football and post rehab and all of that?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because that's, you know, I get asked that question sometimes. I always say there's nothing, you know, I've tried to find different things, but there's nothing in my life that I feel will ever fill that void of football. It was a passion of mine. It was, you know, I loved you know, going to the gym to work out, the practice. I just loved every aspect of it. And, you know, the thing that I really has been my biggest challenge that keeps me going is, you know, the family life now, you know,
right.
my kids, my injury, I thank God that I can walk, but I can no longer run due to my injury. And my little kids know that. So they'll run away from me. So my goal now is just to be able to catch up with a 5 and 2 year old, which is, they're already faster than me. So that's
your challenge.
That's my challenge. And I have to say, you know, public service, you know, being in the legislature.
Sure.
Allows me to get back a little bit to the community. You know, I've been a person that has been blessed, that have been given so much throughout life, and being able to give back my own little way. And serving in public service has been a blessing to me, and it really fulfills that, you know, need to really be involved, and it's been a great outlet for me.
And my last thing before I let you go, Adam, you do have a foundation. Just tell people, in case they want to get involved with the foundation, how they could do that.
Yeah, you know, the foundation is called the Adam Taliaferro Foundation. It was created about 20 years ago to help me with my, at one point they thought I'd never walk again, and the foundation is created to help those like myself. It's led by Tom Icathone, who's our president, and, you know, TaliaferroFoundation.org is where you guys can find us. And, of course, on anyone on social media, you know, the Taliaferro Foundation on Twitter or Facebook. And, you know, like I said, we're in the process of rescheduling our 20th anniversary gala, but we'll be getting out more information on that, and we'd love to, you know, have the support from the community. And we're just so thankful. It's an entirely volunteer organization, and every dollar we raise goes to helping people with spinal cord injuries or other catastrophic injuries get back to their lives.
Adam, it's been really good catching up with you. I so appreciate your time and your thoughts. And you know what? One thing I know I took from this, I'm going to get to know my local constituents, or if that's the right word. I'm gonna do a better job of knowing who they are and what they're doing.
That would be great, Dean. I can't thank you enough for having me, and I miss seeing you.
I'm a
big Sixers fan, and looking forward to getting back to some hoops again.
Absolutely. I'll make sure that I stay in touch. Adam, I appreciate your time so much. Thank you. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
You too. Take care.
All righty. Thanks for being with us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. That is one smart guy. Come on now.
Yeah, every aspect of that guy's perseverance, determination, like I said before break, when I called him up, I was it took everything in me to not totally geek out, and I threw him a "we are" at the end of the call. But you know, it's such an inspiration on so many accounts,
right? And I think for him to even use his own experience of being able to find the good in so many people, or seeing that people reached out to him, you know, to try to channel your energy into, or telling the story of the Oakland Raiders receiver. So, you know, just to find some kind of good focus to in a time that's really, really hard, and it's not ignoring the hard and difficult time or how to get out of it, but to have people like him. And I think, you know, again, leadership, I didn't realize it had been 5 years that he's already been part of that General Assembly there. But I know the names of the people that, you know, locally that I see when they campaign, and I read a little bit about them. But that's a great idea, just to get to know them better. So that was good advice by him, I do believe. And I wasn't sure, you know, amazing that he even has been able, he was paralyzed and he can walk. I do think it's funny how his kids run away from him. Kids are smart like that. When you know, like, okay, I can get a weakness in him. That's good stuff.
One of the all-time greats for the little kids is when they learn they can pit mom against dad.
Oh, that's
dad
another
against
great
mom.
One. Yes.
I see that one coming in the near future
if
the little ones are running away from them already.
I always say, my husband always says, you know, look, if one of us makes a decision, the other one can't like say no. If he made the decision without me, I still can't say no and get to him later when nobody's around. But yes, you got to stay as a team. And the other one was, he said he has two children and I have two, you know, then you have man-to-man coverage. I know, like, my sister has five, so you got to go to a zone.
That's incredible. My dad used to say the same thing. So he always used to say, like, I didn't want three, they'd outnumber us.
Right.
That's incredible that you say that.
Of course. Man-to-man coverage. And we always used to say, like, our friends, you know, if they were having third, no more man-to-man, you know. Hell yeah, totally. 610-632-0975. So we've been talking a little about what's going on in the world. We can continue that conversation as well and try to find, you know, a positive of what could be positive moving forward. There's, you know, now you got to start to take steps. And are we doing that? And how can we do that? And we've also touched on this day in history because the Sixers won a championship. It was a long time ago, 37 years. And the other thing is I saw a interview that Joel Embiid did with Mark Zumoff. And Embiid, he does this a lot when he kind of reevaluates what has happened, you know, in the past. So he really didn't think his season up to this point had been good enough. So he kind of challenged himself for what's coming back. But since we were talking about great centers, when all is said and done, I wonder where we will think Joel Embiid will be on that list. And one of the things, just in talking about those Dwight Howard numbers and him having only missed four games in his first seven seasons, but then Dwight did have back problems, and that became an issue down the road. So, but for Embiid, the start of his career has been very much injury plagued. So I will be curious of, when all is said and done, where do we think he will be on the list of great centers to have played the game? 610-632-0975. And also, you know, baseball continues to be in the spotlight because it's the one sport. Basketball and hockey seem to have a pretty good plan in place for finishing their seasons, while baseball still really doesn't have a plan to start their season. And do you think that they are traveling a path, as the article in today's Philadelphia Inquirer would point out, that it is starting to look like 94/95. And it's a good article by Bob Brookover. And he, in it is Ruben Amaro, who was playing at the time of that 94. I didn't realize he had hit back-to-back home run, or games that he had back-to-back home runs, or games, you know what I'm saying. A home run in each of his last two games. That's the proper way. Anyhow, and then they stopped the season. But he was like a bench guy, and he found himself having a role. And so a lot of times in baseball, it's that middleman that gets squeezed because you have your big guys who make the money, and then all you have the younger guys who owners seem to be willing to let fill in, and it's that middleman that he was one of them back then, and he looks and sees that the middleman could get squeezed out here again if they aren't careful. So we'll talk more about that on the other side. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Almost 1:30 here on Sunday afternoon. 97.5 The Fanatic. D Lineham, Tyler Zuli, and we're keeping you company. It is a beautiful day out there, so I won't be surprised if people are getting out and about. Been a beautiful weekend, actually, in terms of the weather, for sure. So in terms of sports, not a whole lot, other than we've seen some sports People become involved in their communities in trying to change thoughts, change people, change policy. And we've seen a lot of that over the last couple of days. We've seen people trying to prepare to return to their sports. That still seems like a ways away for us to be watching it. But it does seem like passing these different formats in the NHL, the NBA, is actually imminent. And I think that once the NBA passes theirs, and I think it will be this week, I think the NHL is going to be right behind them. I think the NHL is slightly behind because of not knowing exactly what they want to do in terms of what cities to have this play out for them. And I don't know how the hockey end of that, I guess trying to find a place that has multiple ice rinks, right, that is in one setting there. And they can't go into Canada. I saw that was part of the article today because we haven't lifted. That would be a lot for people coming from the States to go to the Canadian cities. So, and then the self-quarantine, the whole thing like that. There's too many people involved for that. So I think that's one of the logistics has been a little tougher for the NHL. When the NBA, one, has a place in mind, two, has a relationship with that place because it is ESPN's, and three, it is set up for, you know, basketball tournaments and is set up to be able to broadcast them. So, but I think it's coming, and I can tell people definitely want to be seeing this, and hopefully you'll be able to do that. Now, what's been interesting this weekend, the last couple of weekends, we've had those golf tournaments that have happened. You know, last week with Brady, Peyton, Tiger, and Phil, and the week before that were four PGA guys. And now they're all getting ready for what will be, it's less than 2 weeks away, right? Because it'll be the Thursday of that week. So we're less than 2 weeks away of a PGA tournament happening for real, the Charles Schwab in Ohio. So that will be a sporting event that we can gravitate to. And then in the meantime, you know, a lot of people were watching a lot of reopening that, especially I think the target of June 8th is on a lot of calendars in different states to reopen even more. Now, what will be interesting this week is to see numbers in terms of the COVID-19 and if the many protests that have taken place, if it has spiked numbers in the different cities and how that will impact, if at all, some of these reopening phases. For instance, like I think Philadelphia becomes yellow coming up. And I do know that in where I live, there's still no retail opened. I know I saw where Delaware has a phase that's coming about. There's no seated outdoor seating in my neighborhood of eating out. So, but hopefully some of this stuff starts to change. And I do think one of the other things, a lot of people who have children, their kids have been doing school at home, and that soon is coming to an end, but then they don't have any of their summer activities. Because, I mean, I know none of our public pools, any of our pools, unless you have one in your backyard, are not open. None of the camps that my kids used to attend are going to happen this year. My son was going to go to, go to a university and to do a STEM camp. Then even that can't happen. So there's pretty soon, right now, at least there's been some discipline to a kid's day because they've had some kind of schooling. And I think this starts to, you could get into a phase that's a little difficult because there's few things for kids to be able to do. And so hopefully in terms of the reopening, something can come about that creates some activity for some young people. And then I think of all of my friends who have kids that are in, you know, going into college, in college. All of them have, a lot of them have lost their summer jobs. So it's, we think we're trying to get better. And it, Tyler, it just seems like there's so many things that still have a lot of work.
Yeah, I feel really bad for a lot of the kids, especially like you mentioned, because I don't know how a lot of people were, but my summers were almost more structured than my school year was, because it was like, my summers to me was, you know, go to camp from 8 a.m. until like 2-ish, and then baseball practice or baseball game by the latest 5 p.m.,
exactly.
And we were doing that until we couldn't see the ball anymore. And then by that time, it was nine, you know, almost 9 o'clock. And it was like, then the day was over. But I don't, these, it's going to be really tough for kids to,
because there's nowhere to, and there's nowhere to go.
Right.
So, I mean, there's only, well, for my kids, they play video games, but there's only so much of that.
Hopefully, you can ride some bikes or get out on some trails or something.
Yeah, that, well, one of the things, I even like doing that, but I have found the path down, you know, the Schuylkill, it gets crowded.
Sure.
Because there's nowhere for
that's what everybody's
people
doing,
to, everybody's
right.
doing the same thing. So, yeah, that's not a bad idea. I guess you could go, and I used to go through the Wissahickon Park. I've seen a lot of people through there, too. But maybe you get adventuresome and try some new, you know, look for places that you could go. And get your bikes with you, get in the car, and drive some places. I don't know.
Well, and I, again, you know, you said your kids play a lot of video games. I don't know if it's more kids are, I guess more kids are probably along that same ilk nowadays anyway. It's tough to even get the friends together and play a pickup game or anything like
that. Right, yeah. Well, it's so funny because now I found that they have pickup video games. And I noticed that they have more people. We know who they are. They're not just picking you know, random, because in the cyber world, you do have to be, you know, if you're down at the local courts, at least I can see who you
sure.
are, right? You know, so you do. But they do. They've, like, I saw last night they had like three people playing, and it was a new game that they had never played before. And they, I love listening. It's as if you're listening to people talk to one another on a basketball court. Like, oh, you know, I got you there. And
right.
It's good trash talking going on.
I mean, you know, even as an adult, a buddy of mine and I, we have a Madden league, like a connected Madden league. Yeah,
oh,
so
wow.
It's just he and I, and then the rest is, you know, computers.
People,
no, it's not even
computers.
Regular. It's just a computer.
Yep, my son plays against the computer.
But we do, you know, like I have a team, he has a team, and we're basically like the GMs, right? And it's a great way to stay connected. If you can't do anything else,
sure.
You know, you make all the trades, you cut and release all the players. It's, and I'm, you know, 26 going on 27, and I still like to do it. So I'm sure,
yeah.
your kids are the same way.
Absolutely. I mean, we do try to come up with. Late yesterday, I have just like a small little flower in front of the house. I don't want to call it a garden. I mean, it is flowers, but a flower bed. And so they planted new flowers. It needed to be gutted out and. Put some mulch down, and we got the new little white small picket fence around the flower, so they can start taking care of my flower bed and making sure that grows properly and it looks nice. And they've done the same for my mom. But you do want to make sure people get outside. I mean, you gotta get some fresh air and some vitamin D. So, but again, our activities have changed. Our sports watching has absolutely changed. Because it's just not available. And, you know, it's going to make for an interesting summer for sure. So I guess one of the things, I guess people who go to the Jersey Shore, that will definitely become, if they only did it every now and then, they'll, if they can do it all the time, I bet they would. Because at least down there you can walk the beach. Can't sit on it yet. I see plenty of people riding their bikes on the boardwalk down there. But I'll be curious what people have in store, especially if you have kids. What are the summer plans and how different are they than what have been summer plans in the past? I guess part of that depends on the age of your kids. But like I just ran through young through to college, and every single age group is affected kids wise in this time of what you can do and what's available for you.
And I don't know what their rules are down there, but I would imagine that if they're doing the takeout drinks like they are up here, it would entice the adults to go down there. Kids can go and run around on the beach and have a little bit more open space, and you can get your takeout drink and hang out
and walk the beach with it.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good point. The only thing I wonder, I've not seen, but like people with the young kids really can't go down to the beach because they'll want to just sit. And the other thing I haven't seen, now it's not, maybe not been warm enough. Are you allowed to go in the ocean? I don't know.
I don't know.
I have not seen a ruling on that. But if you're going and then you go in, I guess you just get out, grab your towel and leave the beach or walk the beach until you dry off. But I haven't seen that, and I haven't noticed people in there. Like, also, there's certain beaches that I know that I would go and watch people surf. I wonder if those beaches are open to go and surf. I would guess that might not be open. If anybody out there has done any of these activities, I'm sure you could take your boat out. That's obvious. And your jet ski. That's obvious. And you could take your boat and go fishing. So there are some activities that maybe were your pastime in summers past that you are still able to do that haven't been affected by COVID-19. I do know that those marinas had opened, so you would have been impacted initially because you might not have been able to get to your boat slip. But those have been opened up for letting you get to your boat, get in and out, and with social distancing and whatnot.
So the Inquirer actually updated us about 2 weeks ago, and it varies beach to beach and city to city. Some are allowing you to be on the beach but not in. Some didn't have those kind of restrictions. It said Wildwood and North Wildwood were among the first beaches to reopen for people to sit. The boardwalks obviously are open, but as of May 16th, with obviously it was 2 weeks ago, the beaches in Sea Isle, Ocean City, and Strathmere will open for sitting and laying out, but swimming is prohibited.
So swimming's prohibited.
In those particular cities. And, yeah. And again, it could have changed since then. That was 2 weeks ago, but that's the latest we have.
I wonder if that's because their fear of spreading. I don't know. I'm going to do some investigation into that. 610-632-0975. We're talking about reopening. Sports, society, beaches, and also what your plans are for your children at all ages for the summer, because just what is normally available is not. So your thoughts on that. And if you have a thought about the 1983 Sixers championship team, if you watched it and you remember it, if when you go back and I know they were showing those games, that finals series this week on NBC Sports Philadelphia, if you watched it and you hadn't seen it before, just what you thought of the style of play and the level of talent and how they, you know, they swept that. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line, I'm with you until 4 o'clock. And just a short while ago, about 10 minutes ago, the Philadelphia 76ers sent out an official statement, and I'll read it because I think it's good for people to know. Our black community and people of color continue to face racism, prejudice, and injustice. It is unacceptable, and we cannot and will not tolerate it in our community. Now more than ever, we must strive for accountability, including ensuring that our community is treated with fairness, transparency, and dignity. We must stay united and strong during the conflict and hurt we are experiencing. 76ers are committed to using our voice and taking action to support and drive change that is long overdue for our city, for our country, for our future, for each other. And that, again, was from the Philadelphia 76ers. Came out about 1:31. So, yeah, we've, I think there's been a lot of people who are weighing in. And now, to then take those people and, as we talked with Adam Telfair a short while ago, now how do you get to making change together and in a way that everybody is helped and treated fairly and start to end these senseless loss of life? 610-632-0975. Andrew is with us in Woolwich Township. Andrew, how are you? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Yes, thank you for letting me on your station to voice this. I'm very upset. I'm 64 years old. I'm old enough to remember. I lived up in North Jersey when, you know, it was like the race riots were always seemed to be going on every summer and from 65 to 68. And seeing this just brings you back into that horrid, horrid place. And what distresses me about this whole thing, you know, that image of that officer.
Yes.
His neck, his knee is on the neck, which is very symbolic, by the way. But the fact that he had his left hand in his pocket,
I know.
This was another day at the office.
Yes.
And I think we got to look at, you know, 14th Amendment, equal protection under the law. Why is it that not everybody is being afforded those same protections? Also, I'm just wondering how we can do this now. A few years ago, Colin Kaepernick got vilified by some quarters for daring to protest.
Yep.
I remember when John Carlos and Tommy Smith protested in the 68 Olympics. They got vilified as well, lost a lot of endorsement money. And yet they were representing America, couldn't stay in certain hotels at that time. Jim Crow was very much alive in 1968. So I'm just wondering with the NFL, they will not allow the players, or at least they have a policy that they could get fined if they protest. Do you think the NFL, Major League Baseball, basketball, somebody, actually I'm very heartened to hear what the Sixers said, and hopefully hockey as well, do you think they'll change it and allow players to voice their opinions without fear of being fined, blacklisted, whatever?
Sure. I mean, I think I saw an article today where somebody wrote it for CNN, but he was associated with the NFL, and he admitted that there were teams that were absolutely did not hire Kaepernick because of they were afraid of the backlash, and they admitted that that happened, which of course everybody thought happened, but you know, nobody would admit it on the NFL side. So that one, I don't know. I did see where Roger Goodell made some kind of statement about the protests. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to paraphrase it. But to answer your question, do I think that they will allow more? I know that as individuals of leagues, that I have seen far more statements made, and there is, you know, no backlash from their leagues for them taking a stand now. So if you're saying in terms of making a statement when they're on the job, whether it's, you know, in the football stadium or in an arena, that I don't know if that will change. I feel like the NBA, back when Kaepernick was taking his knee and getting backlash for it, and some players joined him in that and some did not, I felt like the NBA kind of as a group had decided what they all would do, but I don't know if that will change now. I mean, I'll tell you, I call college basketball games, and even to this past season, there are some that on the team that some of the teams that I've covered that they still were taking a knee.
Yes, and I see, and it's interesting because with sports, you know, I remember Jim Brown, the great running back from Cleveland, said how, you know, not that the racism is not there, but how sports has been a progressive industry. So has the military in some instances. But with sports, it is a platform that when maybe we need to have moments of silence for people that are killed at the hand, you know.
Sure.
And I'm not saying all police are doing this, but the thing is that, you know, how did that officer feel? Like, it was like he did this in broad daylight.
Oh, I know. That's as many people have pointed out. And in fairness, there were four people there on the job, and still three are sitting out there.
And I just want to bring up, because I actually have been listening to some stations about this, and one person, you know, brought up how black people are killing each other in their neighborhoods, blah, blah, blah. And then he was worried about the due process of the police officer. But I am wondering, what if it was four black officers doing it to a white male or a white female? Putting their knee on them. That image is so symbolic of where we are as a country.
Well,
there are people in some quarters that don't want to address this horror that is, you know, systemic from slavery and into Jim Crow. And there was always backlash against people trying to change it.
Well,
but I really think sports, the owners of sports, the teammates, they got to do something. And yep. I think that will get people to think. And I guess maybe I'm just so sad today.
Andrew, and you know what? You have every reason, and I appreciate the phone call. You have every reason to be sad, and I think there's a lot of people that are sad. Sad to see that we are in this place from a humanity standpoint. You know, going back to what happened on Monday, like what, from a humanity standpoint, that cannot happen. It can't happen. And now each day, you know, there's just more sadness and more destruction, more life lost. And it's a really, really difficult time. And you're right. It's not just in the sports world. It's people of influence need to help pull the smaller people up whose voices aren't being heard. And it needs to, you know, can't be somewhere down the road. It's got to be now. It has to be now. 610-632-0975. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we're going to chat with Coach Billy Cunningham, because he coached that championship team that won on May 31st, 1983, out there in Los Angeles. So Coach Cunningham will give us a little bit of his time, and we'll reminisce about a good thought back in the day. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.